When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Hey guys, welcome to a new episode of the Football Ramble. It's Wednesday, the 17th of June. I'm Kate Mason.
I'm Luke Moore.
And I'm Pete Donaldson.
It's been 100 days, but the Premier League returns tonight. And I'm not going to lie, I felt quite a lot of goosebumps doing that opener.
Yeah, great. It's great to have you here on it. Good for you. That's excited.
That iconic tune.
Yeah.
You joke, but...
It's iconic to you. That's good. it's kind of the soundtrack of our professional lives, Pete, really, isn't it?
It is, yes. I sort of get hives every time I hear it.
Yeah, I wake up in the middle screaming sometimes.
In the middle?
Yeah.
In the middle of the night. Yeah, we need that piece of information.
Oh, yeah, sorry. When I normally sleep at night,
right.
I realise I'm with a couple of absolute deviants here, so that might not be the case.
Okie dokie.
But generally, most people do sleep at night.
Yeah. You're breaking apart,
mate. Good start from me, that. It's been 100 days since I ever spoke, let alone watched a football match.
Enjoyable.
Yeah.
So you don't start, I mean, apart from obviously in the one we had to record just then, you don't normally start screaming in the middle of it.
No, I mean, they know to mute my mic and then I can scream as much as I want.
Lucky
and then
scream.
With, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. It's like the Wilhelm scream.
Yeah, it is.
Identical every time. It's beautiful.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
All right, so it's back.
Yeah, it is back.
It's back. Football.
It is back.
Should we talk about it?
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's do it.
I really think we should.
Yeah.
Basically, all of the games, all happening at different times, all shown on TV.
Yes.
It's pretty exciting. Even the 3 o'clock blackout on Saturday. It's
going to
have live football in it.
It's taken a worldwide pandemic for them to let go of the last crown jewel in the old-fashioned football pantheon, which is the 3 o'clock blackout. You can't do anything. Remember when they would show... There would be a Clásico between Real Madrid and Barcelona at 3 o'clock on the Saturday. Couldn't show it in England.
Yeah,
no, because it'll stop people going to the game, Pete.
Is it tied in with like licensing laws as well? Remember when pubs used to close for like 2 or 3 hours during the day,
in the afternoon? Yeah,
and dads would appear in your house, and then they disappear again.
Yeah.
You know who'll be pleased?
Go on,
Richard Keith.
He would probably, yeah.
He'd love it.
He'd
love it.
What's Richard Keith's take on all this? I haven't checked.
No.
I don't tend to text him these days.
No.
There's been too much
noise. Just retract these days.
Yeah, exactly. You learned your lesson. All that story's available in all news outlets, isn't it, Kate? if they're not up to speed on it, they can just, there's a bit of further reading around that. Is that fair?
You're too young to have a daughter.
But Kate's gone already, so you have to fill in here, Kate. Pete.
It just seems weird that football's just been away for such a long time. I can't really remember what happened before the break, if you know what I mean. Like, it's.
I feel like it feels like unnecessarily cruel to expect us to still know about football after all this.
I was like, Freddie Ljungberg was in charge for a bit. When did that happen?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. All right. What, apart from Freddie Ljungberg and the pants ad, having a little look back on that.
That wasn't last season, though.
That's true. Yeah. He doesn't look like
that. I'm sure he still looks great, though.
Every time Freddie Ljungberg comes up in my mind, that's the go-to image for me, I think it's fair to say. Sol Campbell, him in the nud with his bum out.
Yeah.
Remember that one?
From the side.
From the side, yeah.
A jaunty angle of Sol Campbell.
A jaunty angle.
Yeah, if there is such a thing.
Get a girl in. We'll talk about making footballers.
You haven't listened to the ramble.
In our defence.
Exactly what we've done every week.
This is on par in our defence.
So what can you actually remember? Highlights?
Well, when I was asked to put together a highlight of the season, I remember that amazing game that Sheffield United had where they were 3-0 up and they ended up drawing 3-3. That was really dramatic. But and there's loads of other things I could have chose. But I want you guys to cast your minds back to Boxing Day. Traditionally a very important day in the football season, as we all know, here in the UK. But I'm not talking about Man United beating Pete's beloved Newcastle United 4-1. And nor am I talking about Spurs squeezing past Brighton, Kate. I'm talking about the story that broke about Mikel Antonio. And because, listen, let's the football season is back. Let's start with a story that has all the hallmarks of a classic piece of ramble content. And, you know, let's mark it properly. Mikel Antonio dressed as a snowman on Christmas Day.
Yeah.
Driving a Lamborghini.
Yeah.
Right. Crashing into a poor, unsuspecting person's garden who happened to be a YouTuber.
Right.
Right. And not just into the garden, into the bin shed. You know those little kind of brick bin sheds that they have?
Oh, someone's
there. Keep the bins. Yeah, yeah. I know, yeah, yeah. She knows. Kate knows what I'm talking about. The video footage is still available online.
Right.
And when you look closer, I think he looks a bit like he's dressed like Olaf from Frozen.
Oh, right. So yes.
And he played that. The reason this happened on Christmas Day is because he was travelling to meet up with the West Ham team who played Palace on Boxing Day and they lost 2-1. But Antonio played and he actually set up the goal for Robert Snodgrass that day. But I remember saying at the time, and I'll put it again to this forum here, why is he dressed in fancy dress before he's left the house to get in the car? If anything, pull up in the car, nip into the loo, get changed, turn up.
Make a statement.
Because you know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of, do you remember the stories that people used to say, look, make sure you've got like a decent pair of underwear on, because if you get hit by a bus,
absolutely,
yeah, people are going to see.
Yeah,
right? If you have to cut your trousers off or whatever.
Oh, what are you saying, that when the ambulance gets on the scene, they're going to think there's no damage, there's just a snowman lying on the floor?
Has he passed his test? Has he even got feet? He's a snowman. How can he drive?
I don't know where the arteries are on a snowman. I can't. Yeah. I can't find an IV line.
Can't find a vein. Yeah.
So yeah, it is troubling, I guess, isn't it?
They say when you're about to have a heart attack, you can smell like burning.
Sulfur.
You can just smell carrot.
No,
you're a snowman. It's absolutely fine.
Is that right?
Apparently so. Yeah. Is that right? It's burning or something?
Burning.
It?
I think it's a stroke as well.
Yeah,
start dark.
I might be taking that from when Carmine Lupertazzi in Sopranos has a stroke and he says he keeps smell burning hair.
Right.
I don't know if that's scientifically accurate, but it's kind of culturally accurate.
Glad we got the Sopranos story in there.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So Mick Antonio dressed as a snowman, that was my highlight of the season. If the rest of the season can live up to that in any way, I think I'll be very happy.
Yeah. For Spurs, it's hard to pick out any highlights at this point.
Really?
My tiny little highlight was the 1 minute in which Harry Kane scored in the first minute of the game against Liverpool.
Yeah.
I was actually working. So at Sky Sports News, when the games are on, you've got, depending on how many games are live, you've got two or three pundits watching them. And I think we had Clinton Morrison on that game. And basically you do a wide shot of all, you know, say five people at the desk. And then it goes to the little close shot, you know, you remember off Soccer Saturday and all that sort of comedy, Chris Kamara stuff. And so we're watching. We did the little intro, and then we were supposed to be going to maybe a Southampton game that was going on at the same time. Mm. And then this goal is just happening the whole time while we're talking, and I just sort of started clapping. Yeah. I was just like, "Oh, there's a," and I didn't realize I was still in vision.
So. They lost the game, right?
Yes.
They lost.
Thank you, Luke.
Right?
Yeah. That's
clapping at the end.
I approve of being a good, you know, good sportsmanship.
Yeah.
I always clap. I clap a good goal.
Do you? That's so old school. Oh. If you
get your wooden rattle out as well.
I'd love that to come back, because if you look at YouTube videos of great goals back in the day, you can see like the Trevor Sinclair one, I think, when he scores that overhead kick for QPR. I think behind the goal,
Yeah.
Maybe it's not, because it's not the away. I can't remember the goal specific. There's a goal where you can visibly see people clapping.
It's happened once. It's happened
definitely
once.
Happened. There's a precedent for it, yeah.
Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah. I would sort of talk about maybe a couple of personal experiences. I was in Finland when they qualified for the Euros.
Oh yeah, that's brilliant.
I took a Japanese hotelier to Watford when they beat Liverpool inexplicably. You know, he wanted this guy I met in the wilds of rural Japan who owned a hotel. He wanted to go and see a Premier League match. He managed to get tickets to Watford, Liverpool, and. They inexplicably killed their run.
3-0.
Clap, I was.
It was 3-0, wasn't it?
3-0, what did I say? 3-1.
No, I don't know what you said. But
I never know what you said.
I'm just remembering it. It was 3-0, right? And that, I mean, that it would have been, you'd expect that to be, because I think I remember when you said you were planning to do that. And I think you were just expecting like a walkover. It'd be nice for him to see a Premier League game.
Yeah, whatever.
And then that happens.
Yeah.
Unreal.
You want to see Minamino. But yeah. But I think also players coming to the fore and enjoying their first proper season in the Premier League. People like Alisson Maxima for my team, Newcastle United. Tammy Abraham obviously hit the ground running this season as well. It was good, but I've forgotten it all.
Yeah.
Remember when those Liverpool fans went to the wrong Belgian city? Genk instead of Ghent.
Oh, yeah. Amazing.
400 quid down and they are watching an Irish pub.
Yeah. Do you remember?
Lovely.
Do you remember when Timmy Pukki looked as though he might be the player of the season?
Yes.
It's like six goals in five games.
It's not just that apparently the Norwich City fan shop ran out of the number 2.
Nice.
Because so many people were getting, I think he wears 22. So many people were getting 2 put on the back of
greedy,
their shirt.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Greedy.
Backfired now, isn't it?
But if he had sort of continued that thread though, Norwich would be probably in the same position, to be quite frank, because they've been turgid.
Yeah, Jesus. That was another nice moment, wasn't it, there when they beat Man City?
Mm.
Although, in a sense, it kind of represents, you know, no one knew the terror of the season to come.
No. It was a false dawn.
Yeah.
It was. They were so happy. It looked as though they'd won the FA Cup.
Every single person in the city put their feet up.
We're done here.
Yeah, exactly. That's more than we could reasonably expect.
Yeah.
We'll take our medicine now.
Yeah. Well, we started the season, obviously, with Brexit and all that stuff and talking about blue passports. We've now got red passports for the players because you got the red zone of the actual stadium.
Oh, is there passports?
So all the players have health passports.
Oh, okay.
So if you've been cleared of COVID, you get this red passport. I don't think it actually looks like a passport, but I'd love it if it does.
Yeah, biological passport. They have that in cycling as well, don't they?
Oh, right.
It's one of the things they use to combat doping in cycling. You have to have this like biological passport that you continually update with your data.
Ah.
I think.
It's like a dog. Adopting a dog.
More of a pet passport thing.
Have you had your shots?
One of the things that's interesting about internal travel in the US is you can take pets on the plane with you because you're not leaving the country.
Right.
So it's kind of weird.
But you put like, don't you have to put like help dog? Like, this is my help dog.
Oh, yeah. Your emotional support animal.
Emotional support animal, yeah. All dogs, I think, should be my emotional support animal.
Can I just realise,
I love them.
After 13 years, I've realised that Pete is my emotional support animal.
Aww. And spirit animal.
Yeah.
After you killed that penguin.
That was unintentional.
Rolled over.
And nothing was proven.
Sorry, did I just miss? Yeah.
We're about to smooch. Yeah. We're about to smooch.
That would be against social distance.
It would. We can't.
Guidelines.
Not the way I do it. I have very long lips.
Yeah.
It's like a trombone.
So,
you knew what you're walking into, Kit. You knew.
You said you were ready.
Apart from that, this season, what are we looking forward to?
Oh yeah,
beards. But the beard, people are going to have massive beards, aren't they? They're going to come back.
Are they allowed to?
What, grow beards?
Is it not like a hygiene thing where they've all got to be clean shaven or something?
Oh, I don't know. Actually,
I don't know either. What do you think, Kate?
I don't think that sounds true at all.
Okay. All right.
Yes, gets on my side.
You know how Ashley Cole has hair now? Have you seen him?
Yeah.
What? I didn't know people were bald for fun. Is that?
I did that during my 20s.
While,
I did that in my 20s. And then somebody made an offhand comment about me being bald. And I was like, I can grow hair. Yeah, probably you. it was the wife of an ex-Blue Peter presenter.
Was it really?
Yeah. And I went, right, I grow some terrible hair.
Yeah.
And I did.
How many
look at me now.
How many Blue Peter presenters do you know? I think it's just one, isn't it?
Yeah.
So I know who that is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good.
I'm feeling a bit shut out,
it's
guys.
Richard Bacon.
Thank you.
Yeah, no worries. I'm looking forward to... shall I give a semi-serious answer to this? Yeah, I'm looking forward to relegation picture, I think.
Mm.
Because Aston Villa obviously play tonight. I'm sure we'll come on and talk about them shortly. But if they win tonight, they go out the relegation zone. The relegation picture is actually quite interesting. And It looks like it's 3 from 6 at the moment. If you give Norwich a bit of credit and say that, as Norwich fans always get in touch with us and tell us, they're actually playing well in spells in games. They just can't put a full 90 minutes together. So maybe they're a little bit hard done by. I don't necessarily subscribe to that, but I'm sympathetic to it. So give them a little bit of credit and say they've got a chance because when football comes back, as we've seen in the Bundesliga, it's about who masters the situation the best. And there's been something like 55% of games in the Bundesliga now have been away wins.
Right.
Which is incredible. There's been more away wins than they have home wins. Mm. By quite a distance as well, I think. And so if that is replicated across the Premier League, because of course, actually, interestingly, it's not been replicated in the second tier in Germany, I don't think. And the data for other leagues is kind of incomplete at the moment, obviously. But if it goes that way, it's really difficult to know. And if you look at someone like Schalke in the Bundesliga, who've dropped like a stone, they've been really poor. Newcastle and Southampton could be dragged into that.
Well, it's
interesting to see how it pans out.
I don't think Newcastle are safe. And I've gone on record as saying that, you know, I'm fully against the Saudi takeover. And there's probably not much to say about that right now, because obviously the WTO report is out and et cetera, et cetera. So the Premier League are yet to agree anything. But there would be something wonderfully mad about a despot dropping 300 million on a football club that went down, after spending in the same year 500 million on Live Nation right before all of the live music got cancelled.
It's like they're trying to lose all their money. It's like Brewster's Millions.
Vince Salmon's had a terrible year.
Have you seen Brewster's Millions?
And he deserves it. I've seen Brewster's Millions.
He has to spend, I think, 30 million in a month and have nothing to show for it.
Yes.
And if he does, he gets 300 million. And it's Richard Pryor and John Candy. It's a brilliant film.
Does he buy Joel Linton?
Yeah, should have bought Joel Linton.
There was a match a couple of days ago. Joel Linton, I think it was against Hull, and I think they may have won, but Alisson Maximin scored a goal because he's great. Joel Linton attempted one of the worst bicycle kicks I've seen in a very long time.
Injured himself?
Possibly.
Yeah.
Well, he hasn't been scoring through the season, so maybe coming back, he will find some away form, so to speak, and start knocking them in left, right, centre. But Newcastle are not safe, and I think Newcastle fans should be aware of that.
So, Kate, Pete's answer is Newcastle not being safe.
That's what I'm looking forward to.
It's what he's looking forward to. Yeah. I like that.
Bit of jeopardy.
I want to see who's going to get the European places as well. Obviously, Man City committed a serious breach. An hour of serious breach will be on the show tomorrow.
Yeah. She will.
But their spot's up for grabs, so that's going to be spicy.
What about you, Kate?
Well, for me, I'm of course looking forward to the glorious sight of Harry Kane.
Yeah, being back.
Steven Bergwijn.
Yeah. Well, it's been good for Harry Kane.
Son Heung-min.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who can now disassemble a Kalashnikov, presumably. So he might do that at halftime.
Yeah.
That is pretty useful.
Halftime entertainment. there's no point. There's no fans there. that's how dystopian, Kate, football is now. We've now gone to halftime entertainment, Son Heung-min disassembling a Kalashnikov and putting it back together again in an empty stadium. That is chilling. Just to think about.
I was at Halloween in Japan, Tokyo. There were these three women who were dressed in full, massive wedding dresses, right? Full makeup, great hair, and they were just disassembling revolvers in the street.
That is not where I thought that anarchy was.
Honestly, it was the most incredible, slightly weirdly alluring, interesting image I saw all holiday. And I could not get it out of my head. So anyone who could disassemble a Kalashnikov, I would like to see that as halftime entertainment. Or whatever gun they use in the Korean army. So
it's about the combination of the dresses and the gun.
It's very Tarantino, isn't it?
It is a bit of Tarantino. Yeah. It's just weird. I was like, I did not expect to see this. So I think if we see that halftime entertainment. But Heung-min Son, I mean, just seeing him in full flow. I'm not a Spurs fan, and Spurs fans regularly have a go at me about saying that I've definitely not got a soft spot for the team, but I love the stadium, and Heung-min Son is such a footballer.
It's
so rare to have such a gifted footballer with both feet. Wow.
And pace.
And pace.
Dedication
and
to
drive.
The cause. Yeah. Is he your favourite, Kate?
Oh, I couldn't pick. That'd be like picking my favourite child.
Which is?
Jesus. Little baby Jesus, obviously.
Out of me and Pete, which is it?
Let's leave that. Yeah,
but it's been good for Kane, because obviously he was fighting to get back. I was in terrible fear that we were going to do the thing that England normally does. Mm. Had this season continued as it normally would have done,
force him back,
he wouldn't have been fit. He'd have played every game. We would have gone out in probably the second round if we were lucky. And now none of that's happening. So obviously there's a huge amount of tragic circumstances around this season. But if we're sticking to the football, it's been good news for Kane. It's been good news for someone like Leroy Sané as well. Yeah. Who might even be involved tonight for Manchester City. We don't know. So,
David Moyes as well. He came in, you know, what was it, December time? Mm. And like, obviously, he's had no sort of time with his players. I wouldn't have had any time to sort of instill any kind
Mikel
of style.
Arteta?
Mikel
well?
Arteta.
Jose Mourinho, people.
yeah. All right, fair enough. Yeah. We kind of don't really think... Mourinho's kind of... It's a fascinating situation with Mourinho, isn't it? Because I personally think he might be a bit of a busted flush. Mm. I know a lot of people have said the same, but some people say, no, you know what? He's give him a chance. He's still got a lot of time left at the top level. He's doing his best with the team he's got. But their record going into the break was awful. Mm. It was awful.
The record is just awful all season so far.
Yeah.
You had to celebrate, you know, 4-0 win at Crystal Palace. It's pretty much the only win of the season. That's an exaggeration. I know it's an exaggeration.
4-0 win is a 4-0 win, Kate, so, by anyone's
measure. Don't write in. Yeah. As you said, Champions League places, I'm quite... So you're coming at it from the other angle of Newcastle might go down despite the fact that they are 13th.
They're only 8 points off it. Though.
Exactly, and it's all quite tight. But on the other side, as you say, Man City probably...
Possibly, maybe. Possibly. Yeah, who knows? It just, you know.
Who knows? So basically, decided is Liverpool, you know, do they win it this weekend? We'll basically work it out tonight, depending on if Arsenal manage to beat City, but more on that. More on that in a minute. So in that case, top five will be enough to qualify for Champions League. Mm. It's pretty exciting for lots of clubs all the way down. I mean, you know, Crystal Palace in 11th. 39 points so far.
I don't think they're
rampage of 27 straight points in the remaining nine. I mean,
I'm a dreamer.
Yeah, you're not the only one. I had a great interview with Chris Wilder this week, and he was asked about the chances of Sheffield United qualifying for Europe, and he went as close as any manager's ever been to just going no. Shut up. I don't want any more players hearing this. I don't want to entertain this with the fans. We don't care about that. Leave me alone. Yeah, because he was just like, no, well, what you've got to do is you've got to look at some of the things I've missed out on in my career as a manager already. So you can't take it for granted. Right. Essentially appealing directly. You know, like when like Fox News are just talking to Donald Trump. Chris Wilder was just talking to his players. Do not listen to anything this man is saying. There's no way we're getting in Europe.
This man is ill.
They've got a chance though, haven't they? Because if the situation stays as it is, they're only 2 points off the top five. So, and they've been brilliant away from home this season, Sheffield United. And every game for them at home might feel a bit like an away game. It could stand them in good stead.
And a European adventure next season will send them down. as it usually does with teams.
And as things happen with travel restrictions, they might not even be able to do it.
Exactly. Yeah. There we go.
Yeah, although people thought they would go straight back down anyway, didn't they?
They did.
We're all mugs. They might win the Champions League next season. Yeah. I can see it happening.
They're not mathematically safe, by the way. Just the other side of the coin.
I can't believe Liverpool are so far ahead and they still have to wait until Man City drop points. It's like, what?
It does bear repeating. That like every time you look at the table, because you know football's coming back, so you look at the table now. Kind of got a bit bored of that 2 months ago, but look at the table now. 25 points clear.
It's mad.
Yeah, is it unprecedented?
I've looked at the table every week. I'm like, this is not changing.
That's the point, isn't it? They could win it the earliest and also the latest of any Premier League.
Very
title.
Nice.
Really,
that's great triv.
That is a triv bomb.
And the best thing about triv on this show, Pete, is we don't check it. So. Great stuff. As far as we're concerned, that's brilliant.
And we will get emails, therefore generating content, because we live in a clickbait world say something outrageous and then people complain. Either way, the adverts.
Yeah.
I mean, the adverts on a website.
Oh, sorry, I thought you said it's now time for the advert.
No, I'm not the host.
yeah, that's what I got.
Who's the host?
I was like, all right, Pete. I thought I did quite well with the intro.
He's made his decision about the new host, half a show in. Anyway, now, Kate, shut the fuck up. The adverts.
I don't want any of my kids hearing about this.
All right. Well, I mean, in one respect, it's a bit of a shame to see footballers going back to doing football because in some ways they seem as though they could be better off at running the country than some of the people who are in charge of it, right? I'm thinking a bit of Harry Kane with his sponsoring the Leighton Orient shirt, trying to look after lower league teams.
Oh, yeah.
Thinking about Raheem Sterling talking about the Black Lives Matter movement and speaking so eloquently all the time, basically. But of course the main chap we're thinking about certainly this week is Marcus Rashford, who's been absolutely incredible. He's back from injury as well, so we could see him on Friday against Spurs, which is great. but basically what he's been up to this week, you know, a bit of time off, although he is back at training, obviously, just changing a bit of government policy.
Sorry, I'm confused. You mean Daniel Rashford? Well, as Matt Hancock, this health secretary, called him this morning in a very heartfelt message to him on Sky News Breakfast.
Good old
Daniel Rashford.
I'm not kidding. See that. Nothing I could make up would be stupider.
No.
Was he thinking of Daniel Radcliffe, do you think?
I think he might have been.
Do you reckon?
Harry Potter?
Yeah. We know Daniel Radcliffe is great.
popular culture. I'm just bringing some popular culture to this show.
Imagine if he was. Imagine just before the briefing, he went, right, okay, so he's done this stuff about kids' school meals and he was in Harry Potter. Yeah, right, okay. Okay, we're live. And
all right, muggles.
yeah.
But this whole—that's
bad, though, isn't it? Calling him Daniel Rashford.
It's awful. It's disrespectful, it's indicative of a wider
problem. Disdain.
The disdain for anyone. But it kind of started with Hancock for me. The whole COVID epidemic started with Hancock cheaply, in my opinion, and in a lot of people's opinions, like politicising the wages of footballers and how they should take a pay cut and stuff like that. If you're going to politicise me, well, the shackles are off, buddy. You're going down to Chattertown, and I'm going
to
take your
people
money.
Like footballers more than like politicians, and that's backfired on you.
Yeah, and it's an emotive subject. Look, I'm not in any way comparing my upbringing to anything like the hardships of Marcus living in a one parent family. But we were a one income family, and I do remember having free school meals, and I do remember when Thatcher took the milk away.
Yeah,
and you had to pay for your own milk.
Thatcher milk snatcher.
Thatcher milk. Yeah. And the milk monitor would come in with the milk, and I could never afford the milk. But everybody else in the classroom would have the milk, and I would have the milk. And not having the same meal or the same kind of sustenance that the other people in the classroom are getting, it just fortifies that kind of class system. And that is an insidious kind of situation that continues right throughout your life. Everybody has access to education, but not everyone has the same quality of education because of things like this. And it's should it be down to a 22-year-old to safeguard the most vulnerable among us? No. But turns out that is the situation because he's the only grown-up in the goddamn world, it seems, at the moment.
And he referenced those 1.3 million children who rely on food vouchers in schools in his letter. So that was, that was the first thing that probably alerted most of us to it, I reckon. He had that letter on Monday, two pages of A4, but in the run-up to that, he did some really good. He did research. He asked people to talk to him about it. He's done it in a brilliant way. You know, the first thing you saw of it was, I think, on the 10th. He was saying, "Who can I talk to in the government about food vouchers?"
Yeah.
And you thought, "What is going on here?" He's just trying to use the position he has to find things out, work out the specific thing that needs to be done. And to your point, Pete, about your own experience and talking about that.
And I'd hate for anybody to think that I'm comparing myself to Marcus Rashford and what he went through and what young...
No, it's a contextual point. I get that.
Of course you're not. But he did that really beautiful interview, and he's done a follow-up one, you know, since hearing that there's going to be changes made. And the BBC interviewer, Sally Nugent, said, "Oh, we understood that Boris Johnson saw this interview, and it was one of the things that made him change his perspective on this whole concept." Mm. And I just thought, that suggests just really how out of touch you can be that you have to sit there and watch really, like, frankly, beautiful interview from someone who has had the most life extremes you can possibly imagine. Mm. And that's what it takes for you to really believe in this.
And also, you know, it's not a large amount of money for a government, but I would say that during the Brexit negotiations, under the terms of a no-deal Brexit, the quality of school meals would have been affected. So this may actually have a lot, it may even put the status of school meals front and centre when it comes to negotiating a Brexit deal, when in fact other things would have taken priority. So look, hats off to him. He's affected change and turned himself into probably something that he didn't want to be, but he's turned himself into a politicised character. And I just hope that a lot of other footballers use their platform in a similar sort of way, because a lot of them have experienced the same situations.
And also, I completely agree with you both, but the first things first, though, it shouldn't be incumbent upon people of this, like footballers, to lead the way on things like racism or political. I mean, for me, it shouldn't even be a political discussion feeding children in poverty. Mm. I mean, you've got to have a pretty good level of rhetorical gymnastics to argue why children in poverty shouldn't be fed, shouldn't be helped out in some way. And for Marcus Rashford to step up like this, I mean, the thing I found about the interview, Kate, that you referenced, like, there was a lot of talk around it about how he talked about his own mother who kept up all night with worry, not knowing how she's going to feed her children. And I just found that tremendously affecting. Mm. So what he's done, the reason it's been so powerful, is not just because he's a popular, handsome young man who everyone knows who he is. It's because he's using a story which gives it weight of his own experience. And people can relate to it. People are relatable to it. And it's no coincidence that the groundswell of support is because he is so relatable. More power to him. I think in this 3 months lockdown, from what's happened, football players, by and large, there's been a couple of instances where people have kind of broke lockdown, but that's kind of indicative of wider society anyway, I would argue, because they're young people and some people are going to make mistakes. But generally speaking, they've completely distinguished themselves in a way that the political class haven't. Mm. And it's ironic because, as you guys alluded to, the politicians at the start were the ones who were talking about, in quotes, footballers doing their bit, which was just the most brazen and
populist and bullshit.
Yeah, rubbish. Yeah. Like it was essentially one step away from saying, don't worry what we're doing. Look what's happening over there.
Yeah.
And hoping they get away with it. And they completely misjudged it. So, and the fact that Matt Hancock referenced Marcus Rashford as Daniel Rashford this morning is embarrassing. It's not acceptable. I'm not going to accept the inevitable apology that's going to come out and say, oh, it was just a mistake. You know, he's got a lot on. Get the detail right. Get the basic stuff right. And give the guy the credit he deserves. Because he's, as you said, Kate, before we came in, he could have far-reaching consequences.
Yeah, because he's giving people a sense in football of what they can do while they're still playing.
Mm. Yeah.
Which I think quite often footballers have thought in the past, you know, and of course they should focus on their jobs like anyone, but...
Look, Kate, if you went on Twitter and said something about school meals, no doubt you'd get a cavalcade of dickhead blokes telling you to stay in your lane.
Is that the collective now?
Dickhead blokes telling you to stay in your lane. I don't watch Sky Sports for politics. I watch football. It's an idea that you can't, that nothing is political.
Yeah.
Everything, every single situation, every single person is inherently political.
It's Pete, if never weak, a plumber came to my house, it was a few months ago now, to fix the toilet in my bathroom, right? And he came in, he said, well, here's what we got to do. This is what I need to do. This is what I'm going to be doing.
Mm.
And then I said, do you want a cup of tea? And he said, yeah, that'd be great. So a cup of tea. And he had a cup of tea with me and we started talking. And the moment he said anything that wasn't to do with plumbing, I said, stay in your lane, mate. I'm not here to talk to you about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, stay in your lane.
Pipes. Let's talk pipes.
If I want a conversation with you, mate, it'll be about drainage. And that's how ridiculous this whole thing is. It's just a convenient get out for people who say something you don't agree with, for you to kind of cut them down straight away and say, no, I don't have to engage with this because you're a footballer, not a political guy. And as you rightly say, Pete, everyone's a political person because they have to be.
Mm.
You have to be in society.
Well, on that note, I'm going to take the political decision
to head to a break,
I reckon.
Been running out of steam for ages, so fair enough.
You're doing really well, Luke.
Thanks, Kate.
Well done, mate.
The stamina's incredible after all this period of lockdown. After the break, we're going to be talking about the games coming up tonight.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
He just says, how many holes does a straw have? 0, 1, or 2? The internet can't figure it out, so I've done what any sane person would do. Ask the Luke and the Pete.
Join me, Pete Donaldson, and Luke Moore for an unplanned half hour every Monday and Thursday as we talk about, well, anything really, from your emails to life's great mysteries to this guy.
The noise you're going to hear sounds like a man being interrupted by a car. He isn't being interrupted by the car. He is making the car sound.
How on earth is he doing that? Beep, 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 beep. How does he make that noise? Listen now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Beep, beep,
beep, beep. The Luke and Pete Show is a Stakhanov production.
All right, guys, welcome back. Great having you with us.
Yeah.
And also great having you with us on the Patreon. Just want to give you a little reminder. Please, please sign up and support us on Patreon. You can receive lots and lots of extra behind the scenes content. There's bonus podcast episodes. You can do it from as little as $5 a month. We also run lots and lots of competitions for our members. Yeah. Pete, you can't enter. Sorry.
Yeah.
That's true, isn't it?
I mean, I have several nom de plumes.
And it's terrible for Pete because most of these competitions are for electronic devices, which Pete's a huge collector of. So it's particularly cruel for Pete that he can't be involved.
Yeah.
So if you want to stick it to Pete, enter the competitions. There is, if you sign up into the Patreon in the next 2 days, you could win a 65-inch U29 series. Is that how I pronounce
it? Yeah, it's a good one.
It's a good in. Mm. It's a TV, courtesy of our friends at Toshiba. And then also, if you sign up to a higher tier, you also are more likely to win. Sign up to the Supporters Club tier, you'll be entered once into the competition. Sign up to the Ramble On tier, that's twice into that competition. Sign up to the highest tier, as well as becoming an official friend of the Ramble. Who doesn't want to be that? Your name is going to be entered 3 times into the competition. So head to patreon.com/footballramble daily by 5 a.m. on Friday, the 19th of June, to enter. We will announce the winner on the previous show the same day. Do it.
Very nice. Also, time for me to give you guys a Betway 4 to score update from the show last Friday. It was a Bundesliga special. Some of us did better than others.
Yes.
But I won't speak ill of the ones that aren't here. Jim had Leon Goretzka in Bayern versus München Gladbach, but the young Joshua Zirkzee scored the first goal. Bayern. Goretzka did score, but not till very late on, so that's a no. Pete, you had Dusseldorf versus Dortmund. You went for a Dusseldorf player. You always regularly go off-piste. You went for Ruben Hennings of Dusseldorf. Erling Haaland predictably scored the first goal there. I mean, you probably could have just grabbed him.
Yeah.
You tried to overthink it, mate.
I tried to overthink it. I am chaotic good in the whole kind of nexus of...
Definitely chaotic. Marcus had Schalke Leverkusen. He went for Kai Havertz, but he didn't score either. It was 1-1, and it was a Schalke player to score first. And my, by no means least, certainly, I mean, if anything, most.
Most.
Augsburg 0, Mainz 1, Florian Niederlechner, who I absolutely admit I only picked because of his name, scored a minute in. So that's a yes from me, but it's only 1 out of 4, so it doesn't count.
I think that might be the best performance we ever had. First minute. Yeah. First minute goal.
See
surely.
See if I can keep up on Friday. We've got another 4 to score on Friday, where the prize will be £100,000 to celebrate the return of the Premier League. So listen out to that on Friday's show. So a lot of admin, a lot of interesting, fun stuff happening on Friday.
Yes.
Well done, Luke.
Thank you very much.
You know who'd be really impressed by that?
Everyone.
Marcus Rashford.
Rashford. I'm doing my bit.
He had a message. He got it out there as simply as possible. Attached and he got results.
Attached it to a personal emotional story.
All right.
There we go.
Let's preview this real live football. Football you don't know the answer to. Yeah. It's happening today. The Premier League is back on these shores. The first kickoff is 6 p.m. at Villa Park. Aston Villa against Sheffield United. The second one, 8:15 p.m.
It feels like a tournament.
Yes.
Doesn't it? Two games in one day, one after the other.
Yeah. It does, with the earlier kickoff. Yeah, it does. All right, I'll give you that. It feels like a tournament.
Thank you very much.
I like the fact that kind of you forget that Villa have actually scored more goals than Sheffield United, but good God, their defences are very different.
Doesn't help. Yeah. That's the very nature of football that you've cut. You've really cut to the heart of the matter.
Right? And it being a match in the future, I can't steal anybody else's opinions.
No, crucially, you have to score more than the other team.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But Sheffield United, if anything's characterised this season, they never know when they're beaten. The three at the back, they push their opponent's midfield out to the wings, and then they just get the tall lads at the back to just clear everything as the ball gets whipped in. So, and nobody's really figured that out. They're stubborn. So I think Villa, out of all of the teams, apart from like your Liverpools and your Manchester Cities, I think if they were going to play any team coming back, I don't think they will relish this, to be quite frank.
No, I agree.
But obviously McGinn back for Villa, so you'd probably say...
Big bonus for him.
Him getting back, he's a bit of a disruptor, so maybe they'd have a hard time with him.
My thing on Villa, and Kate, I don't know how you feel about this, but my thing on Villa is I think lots of people want them to be better than they actually are. And the reason is for people like Grealish, who's a great player to watch. And
the 90s.
And exactly, the 1990s. Maybe it's just the people I hang out with. But yeah. I think Villa have been quite consistently overrated from the moment they got promoted, really. I was like, Villa will be fine. They're a massive club. Villa Park's a huge stadium. And, you know, they've got all this history. And they haven't really taken opportunities. And they find the reality of the matter is, there's however many games there is left, they lost their last four Premier League games going into the break, and they're 19th. Mm. So the time has come to make a move, and it's not a great time to play against a team in Sheffield United who are brilliant away from home in a situation where we've already seen other data saying that home advantage probably doesn't exist anymore. So I don't know what you feel about it, Kate, but also shout out to Tyrone Mings, who's also been very, very socially active and socially conscious during this lockdown as well. And I saw that manager Dean Smith stood by him in news reports this week about his behaviour and his support for Black Lives Matter. So a whole new generation of socially aware footballers, it feels like we're observing now.
Yeah, it's great to see. I mean, Dean Smith, you mentioned the games that they've lost recently, inverted commas. You know, obviously form goes out of the window, but they have lost 13 of the last 19 Premier League games. And forget all that, I just think their running is absolutely dreadful.
Charge, isn't it?
They've got... obviously Sheffield United tonight, then Chelsea, Newcastle, okay.
An oasis in the desert. What an oasis that is. And the oasis, you're walking through the desert of the Premier League, there's an oasis on the horizon, it's full of Nuki Brown Ale.
And we're not playing any Longstaffs in case we can sell them.
Yeah, exactly. So
don't want to get them injured.
Yes, yeah, stop
Jesus
it up.
Jesus Christ. Yeah, then it's Wolves, Liverpool, little team. I mean, okay, they might be chilling, I guess. Mm. Manchester United, Palace, Everton, Arsenal, West Ham. That's their run-in.
Doesn't look good, does it? Doesn't look nice.
It looks... I mean, and as you said, they could get out of the relegation zone by winning tonight. Okay.
The worrying thing for them, though, Kate, as well, we haven't mentioned, is that a lot of the time it feels to me that when they have a game where you're building up to it, from what I can remember, you're building up to it and you look at it and you go, in our job of covering all these football games, you go, well, they can win that game. Home to Southampton, they can win it. Well, they lost 3-1, you know. Playing against Watford, who've been through 400 managers, lost 3-0.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, Southampton away, just before the break, lost.
Yeah.
They don't seem to be able to kind of capitalise on games that they really need to win. And I remember speaking to, I think it might be Alan Kirbishley for one of these Ramble meets, and we were just talking off air, and I was saying to him, you know, how difficult was it to set up a Charlton team, like an unfashionable Premier League team against like a Man United, who were in the pomp of their power at the time. And he said, well, no, to be honest, it's not really about that. It's about winning against the teams around you, about being the best of those unfancy teams around you. And the key to us doing so well with Charlton is regularly we won those games.
Mm.
And that they counted for a lot more because no one's really expecting to go to Old Trafford and win. And traditionally, I think if you're a relegation candidate, it does sometimes come down to how you do at home and how you do against the teams around you.
You've got to beat Southampton.
Listen, always. You ain't got to tell me that. That is rule number one in any football. So yeah, I do fear for them, but we don't know who's going to manage the situation the best starting tonight, so we'll be excited for it. Sheffield United have had a brilliant season, whatever happens now. They beat Aston Villa, from what I remember, fairly easily over Christmas. No, it finished 2-0 in the other fixture between these two teams. So I would have Sheffield United favourites, particularly because of the away form thing.
I mean, Villa's last game was that was the last game of the league before it was suspended.
It was,
4-0.
Yes.
Yeah.
Lovely little 4-0 to take into
Leicester are good though.
To the break and think about.
Yeah, exactly. That'll go well, far in your mind.
Villa Park have allowed people to bring in their own flags. I presume they're disinfected before they can put them out onto the chairs.
Oh, right.
But I don't know what it is about flags nowadays, living in the situation that we're in at the moment, but like, every single bloody football flag has to have a Union Jack or St George's Cross.
Yeah, in the middle.
And I'm just looking at the corners going, what's that? What's that logo that I don't know about?
Problematic.
What's that? Is that a dog whistle? I'm scared there's going to be something horrendous in the insignias.
What would you like to see on the flag?
A nice dog.
Yeah.
A nice sausage dog.
But maybe not a British bulldog.
No. Yeah. No, that's the thing. They're ruining dogs. The fascists.
We did want to talk a tiny bit about that as well, kind of thinking of things that are going to be happening differently tonight. Of course, as you mentioned, I mean, as raging fans of the Bundesliga like yourselves, well, no, I mean, this is just football as you know it.
Oh,
you know?
I am a voracious consumer of the Bundesliga.
Bundesliga was my rebound. Mm. I'm over it now. It meant nothing to me.
Yeah. Though.
Good Lord.
I'm only saying that because Andy Brassel's not here.
Oh, fine.
He'd have my guts.
It wasn't better, it was just different.
Yeah.
So the thing is, basically, the idea is that, I don't want to explain this to you now, but the idea is that we record this and then it goes...
Andy won't listen. He won't listen. He's got loads on. He listens to NBA podcasts.
If we're watching that TV channel he likes, that's a podcast football on it.
Free Sports. Now available in HD.
Yeah.
Every time. He loves it.
I'm a Sky Sports guy.
You are. Yeah, you keep it coming.
Isn't it right that a lot of these games, even on Sky Sports, are going to be free to air?
Yeah, yes. There's going to be lots of
wicked.
Them.
Great. I love the idea. Like, so many people can see the football. It's brilliant.
It's so exciting.
I always think of when England won the Ashes in 2005, before it went to Sky, and it felt like it took over the whole country.
Yeah.
So it's great of Sky to put those on free to air. It's brilliant.
Yeah, like the Cricket World Cup as well recently. That was
exactly that as well, didn't they? Yeah, that was a really good move. Yeah, yeah. I'm excited. I'm very excited. It. Yeah.
As long as nobody puts, did you see in the Eibar Real Madrid match where they put virtual crowds in?
You're tech correspondent here, so tell us what exactly went wrong about this and how it can be better.
A poor application of low resolution augmented reality.
In a nutshell.
Next question.
Did you see this, Kate?
How was it poor? Exactly.
So they, I think it was basically, I think the Spanish broadcasters put out a feed where they basically put a virtual crowd in the stadium. And it was just, but the problem is the resolution of the crowd wasn't very high. It only worked on certain camera angles. It would occasionally disappear.
Like an Instagram filter.
It looked like an AR Instagram filter. I've been spending lockdown creating Kevin Keegan Instagram filters and stuff like that. And it looked like something I'd made. So that will get better. That will get better, I'm sure, as people get to grips with the technology. Because, you know, people are going to have to find interesting ways of making it more visually arresting, I think.
Is it needed, though?
Better than those sex dolls, I'd say.
Yeah.
Yes, I would definitely agree with that.
But here's the problem. The issue I think that has become over the last 15 years is that football is now so pervasive. Like, everyone knows about it. Everyone sort of has to have an opinion. The amount of times, you know, when I actually had to, you know, do a proper job for a living, which I wouldn't count this as, you'd talk to someone in the office who really didn't have any interest in football, which is absolutely fine, but they would kind of feel like they had to have an interest in it because it was so culturally significant. Mm. And I think what's happened is a lot of people have fallen in love with the idea of football and how
it's presented on
relatable
television.
It is to, yeah. And so I wonder whether in the way that the football's coming back now, people are kind of, decision makers are kind of a bit worried. How are we going to retain people's interest if there's nothing around football to sustain it? Because
they don't trust the product, effectively.
Oof.
I don't know if they do. I'm just saying maybe they don't. We'll find out. But I don't know, because I don't. Maybe it's just because I'm old. Mm. I quite like the crowd music being pumped in, and that gives me a bit of extra atmosphere. Mm. But I don't feel like I need anything else. I like football. I like watching it for its own sake. So I think a lot of people like the circus around it more.
Yeah, Kate, how do you feel about the music that will be allowed to be played when substitutes come on?
I feel I like it a lot. But the thing is, five substitutes allowed, only three opportunities to bring them on.
Right.
And half-time, right? Does that count as one of the three? Don't know. I think it might be three separate and half-time.
Okay, but this is relevant. Right, okay. I know we're trying to provide detail, but this is relevant to my wider point.
Sorry, okay.
Which is, if you've got a substitute music,
but
you might be coming on at the same time as someone else.
Oh, so like you'd need
a mash-up.
Yeah. Yes. Remember the late 90s where everything was a mash-up?
Gary Newman and Sugar Babes.
Yeah, The Strokes and Christina Aguilera.
The Jay-Z and the White Album.
Yeah.
The Grey Album.
Yeah.
All that stuff. Do you understand any of that, Kate?
I was trying really hard to think of some.
You can have
all I could come up with in my mind was when at a May ball, Dizzy Rascal played, and some of my friends in a choir were his backing group. Is that a mashup?
Have you mashed up with? Have you gotten mashed up with Dizzy Rascal? Okay, is this what we're hearing for the first time in the podcast?
What would you have? If you were coming on, what music would you have? A bit of Vivaldi?
I've really struggled with this. I was keen to go for a bit of Tchaikovsky just to like liven people up and make them know what they were contending with.
I didn't realise you were characterising Kate as
she's a big classical music fan. I'm not being mean. It's fair, isn't it?
It's not mean to say someone's a big classical music fan.
I didn't know. I know nothing about you, Kate.
Next time, educate me. I'll bring my violin.
Pete's from the streets. He's a rose that grew from concrete.
Yeah, but I'm also a grade one violin, so I could do...
duet.
One.
Well, I'll just hang these headphones up and you guys can carry on. Yeah, great.
We can play in the Bramble theme tune next time.
That'd be amazing.
First chair, mate.
When was the last time you played it, Pete?
I picked up a violin a couple of years ago and it turns out it don't work no more. Violin don't work. Yeah. Violins have got worse.
Kate, could you do a violin version of the theme tune for us?
Oh, of course I could.
Yes. Bring it in. Bring it in.
Only if you bring yours in, I'll fix it.
Okay, cool.
I'll make it work.
I've
forgotten what we got to.
I love the idea of you waiting to come on, just waiting for the ball to go up.
I'll play my own. Yeah. I
told you about my fantasy about being a long distance runner at the Olympics, and then when I win the gold, they allow me to play. My hero was Roy Castle back in the day. My God, I don't know where to start with explaining that man, but he could play the trumpet, couldn't he? And yeah. I fantasized because I played the trumpet as well back in the day, and when I was a kid, and I had fantasies about winning the race and then playing the trumpet to the entirety of the auditorium, the entirety of the stadium who was watching me win the race.
What, on the anthem when you're on the podium?
Yeah, just playing the trumpet, Nobby Solano style.
Instead of receiving your medal.
Well, after I've received it, and everyone thinks I'm great.
How would they get the medal over the trumpet?
It's very difficult.
The trumpet would have its separate medal.
I'm glad you're thinking of this practically.
Yeah. Kate, yeah. I mean, would you be interested in playing the violin when you're about to come onto the pitch to play in the Premier League?
Yeah, I think it might focus the mind.
It's a bit like a bit of the pillow about it, isn't it? Got a bit of sophistication. Kind of,
yeah, I want my own vineyard the when planets. I retired from football. I haven't really got one that I really think would sum up myself as a substitute. I think it would be quite enjoyable to have the first bit of Three Lions on, just the bit where there's all the commentary about.
But you got to imagine
about
it
other people,
terrible, about people being terrible at football. Right, yeah.
we'll go on getting bad results. We'll go on getting bad results.
It's not just sneaking.
I like the idea of Sheffield United tonight. The substitute's coming on to like a Sean Bean Bastard remix.
Oh yeah,
it's like a kind of like a house bastard, 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 bastard. Coming on,
like
lovely.
A techno gabber version of that. Yeah,
I'm having it.
Yeah,
I'm in.
What's
I'm
yours?
It's hard because you've got to manage expectations.
Yeah.
So if you did like something like "Here Comes the Hot Stepper," people would be expecting some skills, right?
Yeah.
But if you're not that kind of player, it's got to be relevant to your skill set.
Amy Winehouse says, you know, I'm no good.
Yeah, I really like the idea of it. Like, you know, in wrestling when players come down the aisle, and they play come onto a music, and as far as I'm aware,
the Undertaker's music.
No, you hear the music Bong. And you know who it is before you see them.
Yes,
right?
Yeah.
So maybe Jurassic Park theme.
Nice,
like
Gladiator.
Because it starts, it builds. How long am I getting? Is what I want to know.
Yeah, that's a good question.
If it's going to be 12 minutes between the announcement and a stoppage, then I need. I can't be playing on a loop. It needs to be longer.
Yeah,
it's the Crazy Frog. Is that that? Bang that on.
I'm blue.
Yes,
I couldn't have that. You're playing for Arsenal.
No,
you are playing tonight, by the way.
Yeah. Oh, I think we should probably talk about it. What do you reckon?
Yeah, might as
well. I mean, it's a massive game, but you know, I reckon we can sneak it in at the end. Jesus Christ! Before that, we want to just wrap up that kind of things that are going to be different. So we've got your five subs. We've talked about that. We've got to work out if it's a mashup of the theme music or not. Water breaks. There's also going to be. More somberly, there's going to be a minute silence for all the people who've lost their lives to coronavirus over this period. And also in recent weeks, there's been a lot of protests and engagement in the Black Lives Matter cause. Premier League has said they're going to support any players who want to take a knee. And there's also on the shirts, there's going to be NHS logos and Black Lives Matter in place of players' names.
Yeah.
So just wanted to really... draw attention to that kind of in light of all the work that's been done recently and just.
Well, I mean, sorry to cut in, but just very quickly, the NHS thing, I want before it perhaps goes unsaid, particularly poignant for this game because, of course, Pep Guardiola lost his mother to coronavirus. So it'd be a very, very emotionally charged affair for him, I'm sure. And there will be people all over country, obviously, who would have been affected by it. So I think it's a nice thing to market, you know, to have some kind of acknowledgement of it. And what happens in times of like tragedy and like big kind of things like coronavirus is everything almost has to become political, it feels like. Mm. Like it's impossible to not have these things acknowledged, right?
Well, in the first half, you argued that everything was political.
That's what I'm saying. It's important. it's impossible to ignore it. It would be absolutely right. Farcical. Because what the reason I'm saying that, Kate, is because the charge will probably be, well, let's just play football. It's an escapism. Let's just get away
from
it.
It's a bubble. It doesn't exist. Yeah.
But these people are human beings. Mm. And Pope Guardiola is a great example of someone who's been directly affected by it in the most horrific way. It would be tantamount to disrespect to not mark it in some way, so it has to be included.
And I'm sorry, I'm watching like I think we mentioned about the Premier League, what it's made up of, like it's 35% black or certainly minority footballers. And obviously you've got the Black Lives Matter stuff happening. We've got the COVID stuff for the NHS, and you know you've got the anniversary of Grenfell as well. That's happened quite recently as well. Mm. So people from the Black community who've died in there, and it just seems to me that football is constantly having to put up a mirror to political mismanagement, not just on these shores, but mainly on these shores, and all around the world, and it should be used for that. I think, and I think a time where you can sort of say that football should not be putting up a mirror to society is long gone, because we've had this period where there just doesn't seem to be any grown-ups in the room when it comes to running a goddamn country. And I'm tired of it. Everyone's sickened by it. And I'm hoping that having the most popular sport in the country, putting these issues front and centre, will affect change. People will do it, you know, affect change at the voting booth. People will get out on the streets. I'm wholly positive about the changes that will be made in the future, thanks to actions by people like Tyrone Mings and Marcus Rashford.
Mm. What's tough
or
to
whatever
say?
The guy's name is.
yeah.
You know.
What's tough
I liked it when he did that play where he got naked.
What's tough to see is that it feels as though the footballers, and we've talked about it in the first half, but Rashford among them, perhaps leading the way, is that it feels as though footballers in the main are doing pretty great things during this pandemic. And yet, in some cases, as we saw at the weekend with that guy who turned out to be a Tottenham fan, which is obviously just, I don't know, just feel quite depressed about it, but peeing on that memorial dedicated to the PC, Keith Palmer, who was stabbed by Khalid Massoud when he was on duty. And I think, you know, often in these moments, people say, these guys aren't football fans. Fact is, they're not football fans.
Yeah,
they're not football fans like we know football fans and our friends who go and watch games, and the fact that it's a kind of community that I feel totally like happy and safe and as a female person, you know, going to games and taking friends to games of all ethnic backgrounds. But I'm afraid they are football fans. And I feel a bit just depressed about it because I don't know what we do.
And the problem is people straight away jump up and say, oh, yeah, they're not real football fans.
Yeah.
And it's kind of, they are real football fans.
And to be honest, their crowds at the weekend would have been thinned out massively if there was a European competition. If there's a European competition happening, let's make that very clear.
But the other thing you have to bear in mind, though, is that you are going to get idiots in every aspect of society. And the one thing that makes football so inclusive is that there is no barrier to someone being, in quotes, a fan of a club. You just decide you want to. Mm. And I think it's kind of useless trying to control that. The whole point of football's appeal and its popularity is that there is absolutely no barrier to A, playing it, or B, becoming a fan of a club. You can become any type of fan that you want. You don't even ever have to go to a game. And you can still, on paper, be a fan. Now, other people will have their opinion on the type of fan you are, but that's irrelevant. If that guy wants to declare himself a Spurs fan, there's nothing anyone in this room or anywhere else can do about it. So the best thing to do is kind of be the best fan you can and just hopefully try and affect change that way rather than worrying about something that can't be controlled. It annoys me when people put things like the word football in the Democratic Football Lads Alliance, which is basically a far-right organisation, that in that day where that incident you've described, Kate, happened, had nothing to do with football. He wasn't going to a football game. There was no football involved in it.
But a lot of them were wearing football shirts and calling their organisation football.
And it's annoying. But there's nothing we can do about that. So we have to kind of take our medicine to a certain extent and say, okay, that doesn't define us. We're all football fans here. We like to think we're all contributing members of society and that we're thoroughly decent people and we try our best to be. We can't stop people like that do that. You can't do it.
But I think clubs can lead in that...
But they can't stop that guy doing that.
No, but young men who feel aggrieved about having to deal with a changing world, changing language, changing makeup, ethnic makeup, certainly, having to hear and listen and understand people's opinions, which, you know, the male ego frequently finds quite difficult, and everything being kind of like driven by this clickbait right-wing media that aggravates and ignites noise on both sides of whatever political side you may be. And they see football, and they see going to the football, and they see consuming football as a vehicle, or just the last bastion of a smoky male cave, effectively, where they can shout racism, they can take cocaine, and they can drink Stellas. It's just them raging against the fucking dying of the light.
Yeah.
And they will disappear, and they have to disappear, and football can lead. And I hope that it does that.
Anyways, a game tonight.
Don't have to watch Stella though, because I quite like it.
I know.
Thanks, guys.
We've had our debates about that before. Man City by Arsenal is an interesting one, though, because of lots of reasons, but also because of Mikel Arteta, right? Who's not had much time to get his feet under the table at Arsenal. I felt a bit like they got themselves going, didn't they, Arsenal? They had a pretty good run before the break. Three draws and then three wins in the Premier League. I know they had some difficulties in Europe, but it will feel very start-stop for him. And this is a very, very big test. But on the other hand, at least he knows Guardiola better than probably pretty much anyone.
I think that's given it a bit of a false impression, though. Again, with, you know, form, it's nice to reference it, and because we're just kind of clutching at straws, trying to work out what the hell's going to happen tonight.
Looking at the Bundesliga, it just means that anyone in the 6-yard box will miss. Because that's what happened with the Bundesliga. They just look really rusty. The defenders didn't really know what they're doing.
Is that because they get really close to the crowd and go, well, there's no one here, doesn't matter.
Yeah. This is just a training match. I enjoyed Arteta sort of basically talking about Aubameyang's future, and he'd set up a little kind of like Zoom background with like the Visit Rwanda and the Emirates and all that stuff. It looked really, really bad. Give him a green screen. Help him out. Yeah. You know,
we've had a lot of that on the Zooms.
Peaks available for green screen skills, aren't you, Pete?
Mate, look, just work on your shadows, work on your lighting, buy yourself a little ring light. Arteta's got the money.
That's the value add we need here.
You know?
Exactly.
Yeah,
I don't understand anything, but I'll take it as a good thing.
You need a ring light, Luke.
I'm excited for the game tonight. It's going to be great. They're both the games tonight are going to be brilliant, one after another.
I can't believe football's back.
I know, it's brilliant.
I'm going to get a Stella.
Stay at home.
Yeah. All right. But the point about Arsenal is that also they haven't won any of their last 25 away Premier League games against the top six.
Well, that is a terrible stat.
That is a stinker.
So you can say that away doesn't matter and it doesn't seem to matter. And I also actually think the value of playing at home is overvalued in modern football, but you know, that's a whole separate
conversation. But it affects refereeing decisions. Maybe we can do that later in the week, maybe next week or something. Let's talk more about it, definitely. Home refereeing decisions have been shown by studies to be kind of quite different. It would be interesting to see how they're affected.
Mm. You've got Soconomics stats coming out of your ears.
Book club, isn't it?
Yeah.
Still go and listen to it. Still available.
Yeah.
That was yesterday.
It's true. That was when we were doing stuff when there's no football. Don't need to worry about that anymore.
Chinned off my film club very quickly.
It got you this job, Mason, so you should be very happy about it.
Oh, is that what it was?
Well, we'll talk about that later.
Okay.
Is this a job?
Kind of.
But yeah, so, you know, they might be pleased. They haven't beaten City in six, I think.
They got pumped by them at home as well.
They got pumped by them. But there is this whole tasty little master versus apprentice kind of vibes
Love a subtext.
It's back. It's back, guys. That's all I got. I'm just excited.
We could have had an hour of Peter's song.
Yeah, it's back, guys. Yeah.
Wicked. It is. It's back. That's all there is to say. And I'm glad probably that we did more than just have Pete shout for the whole of the podcast. It's back.
There is precedent for that, isn't there, Pete?
Yeah. I mean, 2015 was a weird year for us.
Dark one.
Yeah, dark one. Yeah.
We'll tell you about that later.
A lot of chanting.
Props off her.
Incantations.
It's been an absolute storm, guys. Also... Congrats to Bayern Munich, champions of Bundesliga for the eighth time. Let's not forget that.
Yeah.
But
Big Brussels back tomorrow, so he can do that.
He can talk all about it.
Yeah, it's boring as well. So boring. Like, why are you doing that, Bayern Munich?
Oh, I'm with you. I thought you were slating the Bundesliga.
No, I thought
you're big fans. Anyway, we've got a wrap.
Yeah.
Mark Lewandowski, it's the least you can do.
Daniel Lewandowski.
Daniel Danielsofsky.
All right. Thanks so much for having me. Listen to our friends tomorrow. There's going to be shows all the time.
Mm.
Say goodbye, Daniel Moore.
Goodbye.
Daniel Donaldson.
I'm glad you knew my second name. Goodbye.
And I've been Daniel Mason. See you next time.
This was a Stakhanov production. A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.